Welcome to Career and Leadership Real Talk, the no-nonsense guide for ambitious managers who want to have more impact and progress their career. I'm Pamela Langan, a job search coach and expert CV writer specializing in helping frustrated professionals land the jobs and pay rises they know they deserve.
And I'm Jackie Jagger, a leadership and mindset coach specializing in helping newly promoted and new-to-role leaders to avoid the dickhead trap and lead with confidence. Between us, we've helped hundreds of leaders and managers to find new roles, take ownership of their careers, and handle the challenges that job searches and leadership responsibility inevitably bring. And now we're joining forces to share with you what we know has worked for our clients. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode. Today, we are talking about presentations during the interview process. This is something that we see people getting their knickers in a knot about left, right, and center. So people worrying about how long they should be, how many slides they should have, what should they include, trying to second guess what is wanted or expected. So this week we are going to dig into all of those questions and we will get the value of Pam's wisdom. So Pam preps people for interview all the time as part of her job search coaching. And this is something that she works with clients on all the time. So Pam, in terms of that first question then, why are presentations used as part of an interview process? Because people do get a flap about them, don't they?
Yeah. And do you know, I love presentations as part of the interview process because as an interviewer, it allows you to see more of that person. Asking people interview questions is one thing. Actually seeing them in action, seeing how they respond under pressure, and also seeing how they present their ideas as well, especially if you're recruiting for senior leadership roles. You want to see how does this person potentially present to the board, or how will they present to partners or key stakeholders and things like that. So it's a really good opportunity to see more of that person. And And I think it's a great way for interviewers to see you in those high-level situations and to really find out in those high-pressure situations, are you composed? Are you a bit scattered? Do you get flustered? How do you present your ideas and how compelling is the story that you tell as you go through that presentation?
Yeah, and they tend to fall into kind of one or two camps, don't they, with presentations. So you'll either get something along the lines of presenting how you're going to approach the role, how you're going to approach your first 90 days, or you might get something where it will give you a scenario that might happen within the role and ask you to present your ideas around that. But like you say, in essence, whichever you get asked, it's the same ultimate aim. They want to see how you deliver that, how you communicate, how you show up, and what they can get from you that they can't get from just an interview process. So what, when you're working with people then on this and they've come to you, they've got their presentation and they're working on how to refine it and how to show up and create that positive impression, what are some of the common mistakes that you see that people need to avoid? What is it that people get wrong when they first come to you?
I think the main thing is overcomplicating the presentation. That is the key thing because everybody goes into it like, I've got to have the best presentation with the most slides and give the most value within that session, when actually less is more in that situation, and embracing the simplicity of what you're trying to get across is probably the best way to do that presentation, because what you want to do is show that you can present your ideas in a clear and concise way that is both logical but also really easy to listen to as well. And you want to have that audience on the edge of their seat, wanting to hear more about what you're talking about, getting a real feel for you. And I think overcomplicating the presentation, trying to pack too much in, trying to remember everything. Like one of the worst mistakes that I see is people putting that much in that they can't remember how it flows. So they're turning around and reading it off the board if it's in person, or if they're doing it on Zoom, they're clearly reading it word for word on the screen. And that really is off-putting, and you want somebody that is going to be able to get up there and really represent you as a company. And I think that's what you're thinking as an interviewer. So the first thing is overcomplicating it. So the opposite of that is going to be the simplification of it and making sure that you present your ideas in a clear and concise way.
I love that, because one of the things that makes me, when I'm recruiting, feel uncomfortable is when somebody is clearly flummoxed at what slide comes next, or how many slides have I got to get through, and they're panicking about the timing. And I remember a friend of mine was going for an interview and was preparing her slides, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but she told me how many slides she was planning to have, and I was like, no, less than half of that. People need fewer slides and fewer prompts than they often think, and then they need to deliver them in the right way, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. And that leads me into the second one, which is where people think that they need to fill the exact amount of time. So if you've got 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you don't need to fill every single minute. You can finish early. It's absolutely not okay to go over that time, but you can finish early. And it's more about making sure that you have got that logical flow and story throughout, and creating something and delivering something that takes them on a journey through whatever it is that they've asked you to do. And it could be first 90 days, it could be a random task, it could be some kind of campaign or project, but you want to take them on a journey with you through that presentation. And I think if you focus on filling the time, you'll be more focused on what can I ram into this presentation to fill up that time, rather than thinking, what actually do I need to take them through?
Completely echo that. I've, again, from a recruiter perspective, I've seen that so many times where you can sense that people have jam-packed it and there's so much in there that it doesn't have time to breathe. You don't get time to really have the impact of one piece of their presentation before they're rushing on to the next, and it feels so rushed. And do you feel like there is a minimum? Because I think I would absolutely echo, you don't have to fill all the time and you definitely shouldn't go over. Is there a minimum? So if you've been given, say, 20 minutes, is there a minimum that you do need to aim for?
I think with that, whatever time you're given, I always say, give yourself a 5-minute buffer. So if you're given 15 minutes, your presentation should be done in 10. And that applies for whatever amount of time that you are given, because if you give yourself that 5-minute buffer, if you go slightly over, that's fine. If you come in slightly under, still fine. And then you can open up for questions at the end.
Great advice. Yeah, I wish everybody that had done presentations in recruitment that I'd done had worked with you. The number of times I've had to stop people that are going beyond, or that people have just rushed it because they're panicked about going over, and then taken up barely any time, you think you could have given that space to breathe. You could have had more impact if you delivered the same content, but in a more relaxed way.
Yeah, and that is perfect timing for the next one actually as well, because one of the other common mistakes that I see is people not preparing properly. So not practicing, so they don't know what's coming next. And they don't know their material inside out. But what you also need to be thinking about is that you've got enough slides to tell the story, but not too many slides that you can't remember what is coming next. Whatever it is that you're trying to get across or deliver within that presentation, then each slide should naturally follow on. So if you prepare and you practice that presentation, you should know what's coming next. It should be the next part of what you're talking about. It shouldn't ever be disjointed where you're thinking, what is next? What's coming next? Almost like you've got your clicker, or you're pressing the enter button and you're thinking, what the hell is going to come up next? Like, you should never ever be in that situation, even if it's a quick turnaround one. And that is probably another point. If you are in a situation where it is a quick turnaround, then absolutely the minimum slides that you can use to deliver is going to be perfect, because you'll have less time to prepare, less time to practice, and you just want to make it as easy as possible to remember and to get that flow absolutely spot on.
Love that. What else can people be mindful of that can trip them up when it comes to presentations?
One of the key things that trips people up is thinking that the presentation needs to be interactive, and then starting to have a two-way conversation and inviting the audience to ask questions, which potentially take them off in a different direction, or mean that they're covering information when they're answering those questions that is going to come later on in the presentation. That can definitely throw people. So I think in terms of making your presentation interactive, opening the floor too early for questions, you can think of different ways. Maybe do a vote on something, maybe ask for specific answers around things, but not necessarily questions. Maybe if you're in person, you could give some kind of a handout for people to look at. But I would avoid asking questions and opening the floor before you're ready to take those questions.
And I think that leads me to a point that people can get clarification, can't they? If you're not sure on some of the logistics of how many people are going to be there, how many handouts or slides do I need? Some of those things don't always get communicated to candidates. And when you know them, then you can approach it with a bit more confidence.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the thing, because so many people really worry about asking for clarification around what's going to happen in the day, on the day. What will it actually look like? What are you expecting? What technology is going to be available? People are always worried about asking those questions, and that just adds to the stress of actually doing that presentation. If you find out the information in advance, and the best way to do that is to put all of your questions into one email rather than backwards and forwards with multiple questions, like, take yourself through. I would say visualize the whole process. So you land in that room, are you going to be plugging in your memory stick, or are they already going to have the presentation? Are you going to have a chance to test it before you launch into it? Like, what is the process? What is going to happen? And almost take yourself through that journey of that presentation, because along the way, then you can go, right, okay, if I have tech issues, what am I going to do? So you can always have a backup with cue cards. There's been a time when I tried to do a presentation and it was a different version of PowerPoint. So I'd set up the time and perfectly, I'd rehearsed it. I knew what slide was coming next. I was so happy with the flow of it. And then I got up and I pressed the clicker and it just flicked through to the end. So I was like, oh, sorry about that. Let me try again, put it back to the start. Did the introduction again, pressed the clicker, and again, right through to the end. So I just thought, do you know what? I don't know what is going on here, but I had cue cards as a backup. And I actually got that offer because they said they liked the fact that I was unflappable. I had a backup and I was able to do the presentation from the cue cards and still have the same impact. So it's just thinking through every possible scenario, that anything that could go wrong, especially when you're working with technology, will go wrong. Recently, I did a presentation, and when I got up on stage to do it, the slides didn't work. I had to get off the stage. You've got to think about what could happen. And when you think about what is the worst thing that could happen, when it happens, you're like, okay, I've got a plan. And if you haven't got a plan, and you've thought through everything else, like, you can come up with something a little bit quicker and you can get back on track faster as well. Because when things go wrong, you can become really flustered, and that's something else that they will be observing. So it's really important that you think through all of those scenarios and make sure that you've got a plan for in case any of that stuff does happen.
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago on the episode about what to do when you screw up at work, and that process of mental rehearsal and letting your brain know, if this happens, then do this. And for high stakes situations, it's such a useful piece of advice to think about, what could those things be? What would I do if it did? Because like you say, you're not then relying on your brain to try and kick in and give you logical answers at the time that it's happened. Your brain is just reverting to the plan that you'd already made before you walked in the room. So when people are actually in the room then and they're getting into delivering their presentation, what are the things that people need to bear in mind at that point? What are the things that they perhaps can't prepare in advance for, but do still need to be aware of on the day, in the moment?
Okay, so when you get in there and you are going through your presentation, there's lots of things that are going to be going on. You're not going to know the audience. You'll have an idea of who they are, but ultimately you don't know them really. You don't know what their reaction is going to be. You can gauge it on the day. You can read the room, but also that's something when you're in that situation and you're reading that room, that's also something that can really throw people off. So if you're looking at the body language of the people in the room and you're thinking they don't look interested, they're not looking at me. So you can definitely read the room, but you can also as well prepare yourself for the fact that people might be on phones. People might be doing things, taking note, things that you're not expecting them to do. And it's almost like you, in that moment, you just need to make a call. If you're mid-flow of your presentation, you feel like it's going well, you feel like you're getting your story across, but people aren't really listening, then you have to make a call on whether are they not listening because it's not engaging enough? Do I need to change track? Or actually, are they just being really rude? And either way, you need to make that call. And that can be quite difficult when you're mid-flow in the presentation and you think these people are not interested. So it's about also just making sure that you've got a plan that if people are not seeming to be interested, then what can you do? What can you change it up? Do you need to just move on to the next slide? And I think that really links in well with your preparation as well, because if you're fully prepared and you know what's coming next, if people look like they're switching off in certain parts, then you can always skip on to the next bit, but only if you really know that presentation inside out.
It's such good advice to be prepared for some of those unpleasant things that do sometimes happen. I've known of it with candidates where people have, like you say, been on the phone or started looking at their laptop or what have you. And if you're being charitable, I guess you never know. These could be, especially if you're going for a senior role, these could be people where there are business critical things. They want to be involved and they want to listen to your presentation, but maybe something's happened a few minutes before. I still don't think it's acceptable, and it's a massive bugbear for me when people don't give a good candidate experience. But like you say, if you are prepped and ready and able with that, then you can adjust to it and you can get the feel for it rather than that making meaning of that in that moment and letting that take you off course. So what else do people need to bear in mind then? How do people get to be the wow candidate when they're delivering a presentation?
So I think the key thing for me, and this is something that is also, we've got a freebie that you can download as well with the interview slide pack that I use, that I recommend for my clients. And I think if you want to wow the interviewers in an interview presentation, the best way to do that is to top and tail that presentation. And when I say top and tail it, what I mean is when you start that presentation, you want to give them an overview of you and what you can bring to this role. So it's not a copy and paste of your CV. It's a few real key hard hitting points. And if you do download the presentation slide pack, you'll see how I've set that out, and you just pick some real key points that show them what you can bring to the table right now before you go into answering their question. Now, the good thing about this is that the majority of candidates are just going to be really focused on answering the question or doing the task that they've been given. So you can really give yourself the edge by starting off with a clear agenda and then talking a little bit about yourself. Those couple of key points where you can really say, this is a little summary about me based on obviously what you can bring to the role, and then go in to the task. Now, regardless of what the task is, usually you can split that down into three key points or four key points, and then you would have a slide per point. And then at the end of when you finished or when you've finished answering the question or completing the task that they've asked you, then you can then finish off the presentation by talking to them about the things that you can bring to the role. So you've started off by giving them a summary about you, which obviously highlights some of the things that you bring. And then at the end of the presentation, then you just reiterate what you can actually bring to the role and your excitement around that role. And then you can bring it to a close and open it up for questions. And that format has been super successful. That's the format that I used for my own interview presentations. And that is what I've been advising clients to use now for probably over 10 years. And the feedback that comes back every time is that that was a really well presented, formatted presentation. And actually, when I've spoken to people about it in the past, what they say is it was a really good intro because they weren't expecting that intro about the person and the key points, the key things that make them the right person for that role. So straight away, it's almost that mental tick, isn't it, in the box. This person is right for us. This person is the right level for what we're looking for. Then the person goes in and answers the question or completes the task and then finishes off by talking about actually what I can bring to this role, what excites me about this role, and then finishes off. And it's like the perfect kind of flow. And that is what I believe makes the candidates that use that format really stand out, because it takes them on a journey. It gives an insight about the person, and it's different to what anybody else does out there, because not many people will even think about doing an intro and talking about themselves before they get into it. And that intro really doesn't need to be any longer than 30 to 60 seconds. Like, I'm talking a really short, snappy intro. And the same with the last bit as well. It's the bit in the middle where you're answering the question that's going to give you the bulk of the presentation. But if you can top and tail it and then also tell them a story, take them on that journey to answer that question, that is definitely going to make you stand out more than if you just tackle the question or the task head on and get through it as quickly as you can and get to the end, open it up for questions and job done. It's take your time, enjoy the process. As you're going through the process, you want to be asking yourself, what am I learning about myself? What can I take away from this? What can I learn from this situation? And almost being in the moment. I think that is the key thing. If you approach that presentation and deliver it in the moment, rather than trying to rush through it to get to the end, because you hate presentations or you hate interviews generally, you will do yourself a disservice. You need to really enjoy that moment and enjoy taking them through that process.
Love that advice. I'm thinking about candidates that I've seen and remembered, and that's the key thing, isn't it? You want your presentation to be memorable. You want those people to remember you after it. And that intro and outro, if you like, that tops and tails the main part where you're addressing, just really seeks to position you as somebody who is confident to stand out, comfortable that you're able to deliver, able to step aside and be different and not just follow the exact brief and instruction that you've been given, but do that in a way that links. So I'm thinking about a role that I was recruiting not that long ago, and there was essentially that aspect of somebody really showcasing why their previous experience was going to come out in the ideas that they were going to share. And I think for me as a recruiter, it did two things. It made them memorable in the way that you're describing. It also made me aware of how they had shaped their approach to actually answering the question. And that took away some of the judgment. So I think sometimes the concern that people can have is, particularly if you're doing a more technical type, by which I mean, if you're in marketing, you might be asked to create if you're in marketing, you might be asked to create the outline of a campaign. If you are in finance, you might be asked to share how you'd approach creating a cash flow forecast. Those kinds of presentations, based on some information that you've been given to use to prepare, if you set that context first, then I think people are aware of, okay, so this is the angle that that person with that experience is likely to take. And it brings people in with you into the approach that you've taken without you having to tell them, this is the approach I've taken and this is why.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a thing. The more you can really get under the skin of what they're asking you to do, the easier it's going to be for you to create create your slide pack that takes them on that journey and tells that story. Now, those examples that you use there where you're talking about maybe creating a marketing campaign or looking at cash flow from a finance perspective, they can be quite dry topics to try and create a compelling story from. But if you think about what are the key things that this employer needs to know about me to know that I can hit the ground running in this role, that if they said to me tomorrow, develop this campaign or create that cash flow forecast, that I could actually hit the ground running and be able to do that. So I think people tend to overthink these tasks a lot, but actually what it's about is it's about that employer understanding your thought process and how quickly could you hit the ground running, and are you calm under pressure, and all of these different types of things. So if you can break that down, so with every single thing that you're asked to do, there's going to be a process that sits behind it, or there's going to be a way that you can break that down into 3 or 4 simple steps that you can go through. And then if you split up those slides and do 1 slide per step with minimal bullet points, and even where you can skip the bullet points and just use an image if you can talk around it, but then you just need to make sure that you have practiced the narrative and you know what you're going to say so that it does flow. And if you do have a moment where you go blank, that you've got some kind of prompt to move you on. And I think one of the key things as well that people forget in a presentation is if you don't put it on the slide, they don't know if you were going to say it or not. So if you miss some out or you forget to say stuff, it's not the end of the world because they didn't know you were going to say it. And if you put it on the slide and you don't talk through it, you've given them that information. I think the key thing is don't beat yourself up over what you didn't do. Just focus on telling that story and really getting as comfortable as you can in that moment.
Love that. One final question before we wrap up, and I'm really interested in your take on this because it's one of the questions that I see the most. Where is the line in terms of people showcasing their ideas and what they can contribute versus being asked to do free consulting work for a presentation? How do you find the balance so that you show what you're capable of, but don't end up doing a whole load of free consulting and spending 17 hours doing your investigations and research to be able to pull a presentation together?
So this comes up a lot for marketing and salespeople more than anyone, because they're usually asked to present some kind of strategy, whether that's an overall marketing strategy or sales strategy or an actual campaign. So I think the key thing is using your own judgment. If you feel like somebody's taking advantage of your goodwill, then usually they will be. It just depends on how much you really want that job. But my advice would always be, if you think they're taking advantage, proceed with caution. And even where you don't feel like they're taking advantage and they're absolutely lovely and the whole process has been amazing, if they are asking for stuff that you do think borders on being free consultancy, the best way to approach that is to just give an outline in the presentation, and you can talk through the bulk of what you want to say in the presentation. Because a lot of the time when they are trying to get free consultancy and when they're trying to gather ideas, what they'll usually do is ask you to send the full presentation over to them, either prior to the interview or after the interview. And if you've just given an outline, that's absolutely fine, because then they need to then go away and do the research and put the meat on the bones. Whereas in the interview, you can take them through that outline. You can give them you can put the meat on the bones. You can give the context behind each point, but you're protecting yourself and you're giving them at the same time what they need to see from you to know if you're the right candidate.
I think when you're in that situation, it can also be tempting to feel like they're asking for free consulting. And sometimes they are. Sometimes they're being really cheeky. And like you say, need to proceed with caution. Sometimes it can also be inexperienced recruiters. It can be that a hiring manager has been asked to decide what they need to see at a presentation as part of a recruitment process, and they've not been given guidance and they don't know how to understand what somebody is capable of without asking them to do a piece of work. And in a similar scenario, I always advise candidates, we want to see your workings. It's not about judging or critiquing your ideas. We don't need to see lots of specific tactical ideas. What we need to understand is, if you were given this type of a brief, how would you go about it? So again, you can ask for that clarification and say to a potential employer, I've seen and read the brief that you've given. That would take an awful lot of research. I don't have the internal context to be able to provide ideas that I know would be right. I take it what you need me to do is to demonstrate my approach and how I would fulfill that kind of brief. I think you can still throw in a couple of ideas. Again, if you're in marketing, it could be that you research and give some examples of the types of topics to cover in blogs, or mock up a social media post or two. But the idea of actually going into depth and giving all of that away, both of us would definitely say, do not put yourself in that boat, because that is really unnecessary. And if you ask that question of, I take it you want me to show my workings, and they're saying, no, we really want all of this specifics, then I would say that's red flag time. It's time to potentially withdraw, because they are using that recruitment process unfairly for free consulting.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the key thing as well, if you've got an interview presentation coming up and you want to download the slide pack, we're going to put the link in the show notes so that you can do that. And the presentation should take you no more than an hour to do. And that includes your research time. You should be able to pull together the simple outline of the presentation within an hour. And then obviously, as you go through and you prepare and you practice, then you might add a few things to it. You might take a few things out. But the best way to approach it is to look at the task in hand, set yourself a timer for 60 minutes and work through, do the research that you need to do, and then pull the slides together. You can always go back and jazz up the slides and amend them. And there's some instructions there around like branding up the slides to make sure that they're in line with the company brand and that you're interviewing at and all of that kind of stuff. But you don't want to be spending hours and hours, like an hour to do your initial setup, and then a couple of hours practice time. Don't want to be spending days and days on this. And if you feel like you need to, then that's where you need to be asking yourself, are they asking too much? Or actually, am I trying to put too much into this?
Brilliant advice. And if you're listening to this because you are in the process of preparing a presentation for part of a recruitment, then as Pam said, we will put the link to be able to download that slide pack with the associated instructions in the show notes. And also, if you do need that support to make sure that you can ace the presentation, it is one of Pam's superpowers. So you can book a leadership. No. So you can book a presentation preparation power hour. Too many P's in that one. You can book a power hour to work with Pam on preparing and making sure that you really can deliver that presentation in a way that's memorable and that gets you noticed for all the right reasons. So the link to directly book in with Pam is in the show notes as well. Thank you as ever for listening. Please do share this if there are friends, colleagues, people that you know who are in that preparation zone. Maybe they're at first stage of interview and this could be useful for them if they get invited to a final stage. And please do rate and review on your favorite podcast platforms. It helps us to get seen and get heard by people who need to hear these episodes. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you again next time.